Hello, welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I have a small window this morning. I'm not working in the morning, so I have all these things I want to do. Should I pole dance? Should I make sourdough? Should I stretch? Should I swim? All these things and not a lot of time. And this is my mind, okay? Because I want to pack it all in. But the time goes by so quickly. Yesterday morning, I also did not work. I don't know what happened this week. It's only a week away from Thanksgiving. Work is crazy, right? There's so much to do. And they give me 3 days off. I'm not going to complain because I really need a little downtime. Because after the AM job, I go and teach till 9 p.m. And that is a handful as well, because it's not just teaching culinary, it's also teaching younger students, right? Like in their early 20s. That comes with other things, you know, and teaching is dealing with people. People have a home life, they have issues, right? They have emotions. So that comes into play. And when you put in heat and kitchen and pans, there's other stresses that go along with that. Anyway, it's been going fine, but it's still work, right? Everything comes together and takes your energy. But I do enjoy it. I enjoy it more than the AM job. The AM job is kind of coming together, some days better than others. Usually it's understaffed, so it's always stressful. And I notice myself, I don't drink water. I'm not drinking water because it's like there's no time. You know, you can only put your water in a certain part of the kitchen because you're not supposed to have your own personal drinks under your counter. So I forget because I have to go over to that part of the kitchen, right? And then at the end of the day, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't drink any water, and that is terrible. Anyway, I'm so happy I don't have to work in the mornings. I can sleep in and not wake up at 4:30. I put up my Christmas tree the other day, and it made me so happy. Yes, it's a fake tree, but this way it's better for me because I can leave it up longer. I love the smell of a real tree, but this way, when I start putting it up, and if it were real, the needles would start to fall, right? And it's more of a mess. And also, my apartment is kind of small in the living room, so I don't have that much space because I need pole space. I need the space for my pole, which I did this morning. As I was telling you, I was battling what to do first in my head because I also have some sourdough starter and I want to make sourdough, you know, because I keep it dormant in the fridge because I don't always have time, right? I don't want to feed it every day because you can't keep piling it on top of one another when you feed it. You have to throw like half away, right? So if I'm not going to make any bread, I'll just put it in the fridge and keep it dormant. But after you keep it dormant, you still have to feed it for a few days before you make actual bread, just to like freshen it up again. So it's fresh right now and it's looking good. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I can make sourdough. But then I see my pole and I'm like, well, I should pole. You know, so I'm trying to do more of that with all this extra time that I have. I wanted to join a studio. A studio is not cheap. And I need more time because you pay for a package, right? At this point, I can only go like once a week. And it's better if you go like 2 to 3 times a week only because you pay for the price. You can't get just once a week packages, you know? The packages get better the more you go. So I'm trying to just at least do it at home, you know, to get more flexible and kind of just get back into it. It's so easy to stop doing it and get out of it, especially working in the kitchen, because the kitchen makes you not flexible. So you always have to practice at home and stretch, you know, and just stay flexible, I guess. So I have some big news. It's big news for me. You know, when you do something and you try something for a long time, like you just keep trying and trying, right? When something happens that you've wanted, that you've tried for, and it finally happens, it's almost like less eventful because you've been waiting for it to happen. And then it finally does, and there is a relief, you know, but then you're like, oh, now it's the next step, right? Like, sometimes you don't stop to enjoy that moment of what you've been wanting. For example, well, not example, I'm going to tell you, right? I've been looking for an agent for acting for, I would say, the past year, year and a half. And I've been sending stuff out, right? I've been sending stuff out in San Diego, like, just keep trying, trying, right? That's my mantra in my head. Just keep trying. My whole life, that's my mantra. And I don't stop, right? If those of you who know me, you know that I just keep going, right? No matter what happens in my personal life, no matter what. That's all you have is your goals and your wants and your dreams, right? So you have what you want to follow through, right? That is your goal. And I have a lot of inner strength, a lot of inner willpower. So yes, shit happens. Relationships fail. It would be nice to have a relationship that doesn't fail, but I still have my dreams and desires, okay? And I don't put that on another person in a relationship, because that's not what a relationship should be, right? You have your goals, the person in the relationship has their goals, and hopefully you come together and you can make it work. And if not, I still have my own dreams. This is why I moved to LA. This is why I chose LA. It's not because it's such a beautiful city. You know, it's not. There are some beautiful places, but compared to San Diego, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of traffic. Yesterday, I finally got an agent. And this was a big deal, you know, but the way it happened, it was like, oh, okay, I guess I have that now. You know, and I was excited, and I told a couple of my friends, but it's just something I've been wanting for so long, and it wasn't happening. I was sending stuff out, and even if I did get responses, nothing came of it. So this is how it happened. A friend of mine, she's in casting, and I went to acting school with her. I've known her for over like 25 years, 27 years probably. I even went out with her cousin, right, who lives in Ireland. We went out when he would visit New York. And that's how we kind of, that was kind of like the joke. Not a joke, but it was the one thing we had in common was her family. I don't know, because we only went out a couple times. You know, it's not like, oh, we were anything serious. I reconnected with her when I moved to LA, and even a little bit before. And I showed her, you know, what I was sending out to other agents, and I talked to her. And then she was telling me I should switch to FICOR. I'm part of the Screen Actors Guild. So FICOR, the union doesn't like that, right? Screen Actors Guild doesn't want you to switch, because this allows you to do non-union work and union work. The thing is, the union work goes to certain agencies, it goes to certain actors, it goes to celebrities, like well-known actors, right? So it's hard to get the union work. You can get it, but it's hard to get it on a constant basis if you have been out of the business, or if you just don't have that name, right? If you haven't made it yet. Obviously, I haven't made it, but I switched to FICOR, and I'm part of the Screen Actors Guild. I did it so I could be open to more roles. The union doesn't like it, because when you do non-union work, right, you can't just choose union, non-union, but that's what FICOR allows you. It allows you to be open to both sides. The union doesn't want you to do this because it lowers the standards of the union. You know, there's pros and cons with it. Sure, I get it. But at the same time, if you just want to be a working actor, sometimes you have to do that if you're not getting work. I've been out of the business, right, for quite a while now. I would get things here and there, but nothing that I can say, oh, I'm a working actor. You know, I was focusing on pastry and working in Switzerland and just trying to pay my bills, right, by working in the kitchen. Anyway, I've moved to LA, I've reconnected with her, and she said, you know what, I have this agency in mind, and I will refer you, which is a huge deal, because that's not why I came back in contact with her, obviously, and she doesn't have to do that. You know, I know that a bunch of people probably contact her for that reason, because she's been in the casting industry for so long. Anyway, she referred me to this one agency, and they, like, totally trust her, right? Which is huge, because she doesn't do it a lot. And I've done that too. I've referred people, obviously not for casting, you know, but in the industry. And if these people don't follow through, if these people kind of fail on your word, you know, it's a huge deal. So I'm very grateful that she referred me. The next day, they set up a meeting with me. So I had a Zoom meeting and I met with one of the agents, you know, it's a duo. And it seemed really positive. You know, obviously, it's not like I have all these options right now, right? I don't have all these agencies trying to represent me. Anyway, this agency has been in the business for a long time, over 18 years. And they've reopened a new agency, you know, with a new name in the last couple years, because they're also doing theatrical. So they do commercial and theatrical. And for the past 18 years, they've done only commercial. So they're trying to expand. It was great to meet. And she was saying how, you know, I have a screen presence. I also pole dance. She did actually say that. And she said it in a positive way, right? Because not everyone pole dances, right? And not everyone is a chef. So whatever makes you you in your life, that is a positive thing in casting, because all kinds of roles come up, right? I mean, there are chef roles. There are maybe some roles with pole dancing. Who knows? Maybe some random commercial. We don't know yet, but it's something that sets me apart from somebody else. Anyway, that happened, and now they represent me. Now they're going to send me out, you know? They send you out based on the roles that are out there, right? Based on the roles that they think you're likely to get cast in. But anyway, it was a huge thing. And I'm excited about it because it's something I've wanted for a long time. And it's hard for me, just through regular casting websites, to get other roles, right? There's a bunch of non-union roles. And that's fine, but it's very hard to get higher paying roles, right? Like, I work all day and I can't just go out for any role, right? If I didn't have a job, maybe I would go out for more. But some of them are extra work, some of them are paying less, right? So it's a big to-do to maybe call out or go to this audition if it's not paying as much, because I'm going to make more in my regular day job. You know, I'm not just doing acting for money, obviously. But when I call out or disrupt something in my regular work, it doesn't make me look good. So I have to be kind of picky what I do that for. And if it's a lower paying job, I'm probably not going to do that, right? I would do it for, let's say, I don't know, NCIS or like some sort of TV thing. But what am I saying? I haven't even been cast in anything at this point. All I'm saying is I have an agent, and that's a huge deal, and I'm excited. That's all I'm saying. And I wanted to tell you. So, my point is, if you want something and you've wanted it for a long time, don't give up. Just keep trying, okay? And for me, it's not like, oh, now I have an agent, now I don't have to do anything. No. You still continue doing what you're doing and look for roles and continue being open-minded. You know, I am on casting websites, so I can still submit myself. It's not like now I just leave it up to the agency, right? And even at that point, when they send you to castings, I have to go. And I hope it works out as far as, you know, because I literally work like all day for 4 days out of the week. So I hope, timing-wise, everything fits in with auditions. That happened, and I'm excited. It's a big deal. Okay, so now I have to talk about the handyman came over. He fixed the fence, and he said, is there anything else you need done in the apartment? And I said, well, this door isn't opening great. It was like the front door and it was a little crooked. So when I closed it, it kind of jammed. And he said, oh, that's an easy fix. And then I showed him something in the shower. The door wasn't sliding right. He fixed that. So he did a bunch of other things. And he's not bad looking, you know? So if he's offering to fix other things, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tell him what else needs fixing. He left and he said, I hope you're happy with the fence, right? How he fixed it. But then he said, you know, I should have done a better job with the fence. Like, he said that. I didn't, you know, I was like happy and I was like, oh, he's done. But then he said, let me come by again and fix the fence and do a better job. And I don't know what he was talking about, but if he's like wanting to do something better, I'm like, okay, sure. So I schedule a few days out. I say, okay, come back at this time. I was home in the evening after work. Anyway, he came by again and the door opened great because he fixed it, right? And he brings his tools and I say, you know, thanks for coming back. I mean, I know you were technically done, but thank you, you know. So he goes into the backyard and he covers it more. Like, he makes it more private. He didn't really do that much, you know? So I'm thinking, did he just want to come back, like, to see me? You know, not that I'm thinking, oh, all these men are so into me. No, but it was just interesting because I swear he was done. Like, why did he come back? You know, so, I mean, I did look nice the first time we met because I was meeting with a friend. And I wore this nice dress, you know, I don't know, maybe. So he came back. I made it a point to look nice again. And I happened to have some savory pie. You know, the first time he was here, I had made some sugar cookies and I gave him a couple and also some sourdough bread. And he thought that was really nice, you know, and maybe because I gave him those things, he said, oh, maybe I can do a better job. I don't know. But when you give somebody baked goods, it goes a long way, especially when you made it yourself. It's positive, right? But that wasn't my goal. It wasn't my goal to be like, oh, let me give you this stuff so that you come back. No, that's not what I do. But he did come back. We ate, like, he sat and we ate some savory pie. And I had some more cookies made and he took those with him. And he said, you know, thank you so much, you know, and we chatted for a little bit. Like, it was like a mini conversation, a mini semi-date. I don't know. This is my life. I wouldn't say I have really dates at this point. But it was nice. It was nice to just talk to somebody. Of course, he is also Brazilian, you know, because Brazilians only contact other Brazilians. My ex, being Brazilian, contacted this Brazilian. Anyway, he was very nice. So he left and there were some vibes. There was something there, okay? I'm not just saying that. So I messaged him. I said, do you want to, you know, go out sometime? And he said, yes. So that's what happened. A few days later, he came by and we went out. We went out for dinner and we talked some more. That's that. We may have made out. And I never heard from him after that, you know. So I wished him happy Thanksgiving. And he said happy Thanksgiving as well via text. But I didn't ask again. I figure, okay, this is not a good sign if the guy is not asking to see me again, right? Or ask me out. So I left it at that. And then last week, I decided to, my mission was to go to the Hollywood sign. I wanted to hike. I had last Friday off. And I thought, you know what? I've never been to the Hollywood sign. I think I was from the observatory in Glendale, and I think I saw it from the back of that, like 15 years ago, a long time ago. Anyway, I wanted to go on this hike. And I saw, okay, there's a hike to go to the Hollywood sign. So I went early in the morning, you know, because I thought it's going to be less crowded. It'll be better. Everything's better in the morning. I drive over the hill, right? I live in the valley. I drive over the hill. I drive through these, like, rich neighborhoods, okay? And they're super curvy. They go up and down, like hilly, because it's on the other side of the Hollywood sign. So from these hills, you can see the Hollywood sign. And I thought, like, how crazy would that be to have a house and in your backyard, you see the Hollywood sign? You know, like, I feel like that is kind of surreal. But there's a lot of those houses that have that, you know, and the sign is right there. So I'm driving around and trying to see what is, like, the best view and how could you get there, okay? This is not an easy feat. It's actually not that easy to get to the Hollywood sign. I found this park, Hollywood Park, you know, seems obvious, and I could park there, my car. So I walk and I take pictures of the Hollywood sign, and then I see some people further up, right, like up a hill. And I see them kind of closer to the Hollywood sign. And I'm thinking, oh, like there's an actual trail. So I start walking there. I walk along this trail and I think, okay, I'm gonna walk this trail. So at first you walk like this short trail and then it goes into a neighborhood. You have to cut through this neighborhood. And I thought the trail was over. Like I didn't know where this leads, okay? So I walk through these streets and then I see on my like maps, it continues, there's a gate. And you walk through this gate and then there's a dirt path. And you walk along this dirt path and there's a platform and then that's where you can take pictures because the Hollywood sign is a lot closer. But I wanted to go even further and I meet these two people and I see them go along this dirt road. You know, and it's like behind this electrical power station. But there's cameras and it says stay out, like no trespassing. And I'm like, oh, like, do they know something I don't? Is there something, like, is this a way to the Hollywood sign? Is this a shorter way? I don't know. So they're way ahead. I semi-follow, you know, I walk behind the sign and I see a path with so many footprints, right? Like, this happens a lot. A lot of people walk through here. So I'm like, oh, like this is not a big deal, right? Everyone's walking through here. But then I also see a different trail. It seems like a roundabout trail. And I see people walking on that path too. But I'm like, oh, let me try this dirt trail, right? Where these two people are going with the no trespassing sign. So I continue walking up a hill and it's very steep, right? It's very dry. There's a lot of sand. Because it doesn't rain a lot, even though this past weekend it rained nonstop. But it's very dry and it's hard to climb it, okay? But I make it. I get to the top of this hill. And then I hear a siren, like, you know, police siren. And there's someone talking at the top of the hill behind the Hollywood sign. And they say, this is the LAPD. You are trespassing. Please turn around. All hikers must turn around or you will be arrested. And I'm like, oh, holy shit. I'm not supposed to be here. Okay, but they said it. I mean, maybe they saw me. Okay, I was in a pink t-shirt, so they probably saw me. But I think they were mainly talking to the hikers ahead, you know, because they were more ahead. Anyway, in this moment, I turn around. I'm like, okay, I do not want to get arrested for trying to get to the Hollywood sign. Not worth it. So I go back down the hill. The other hikers also go back down the hill. And they're like, that was a waste of time, you know. I guess they were only going up there because they saw all the other footprints, right? So I walk down and I go along the regular dirt path. So I guess what happened was, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the Hollywood sign got defaced and someone told me it said Hollyweed. Like some people went up there, they put some slats up in the middle of the O's to make it ease, and they spray painted, right, to make it look like an E instead of an O. Anyway, got defaced, and I guess you could go up to the sign. You know, they're giant. Like, the sign is huge. Since then, everything's fenced off. You can't go to the sign. And it's not like I needed to go to the sign. I just wanted to find a good place to see the sign, okay? Like, there's no touristy place for the sign. It's very uneventful. I wanted to get to the top and be excited that I'm at the top and have a great view from the top of the Hollywood sign. That's all. I didn't have to go, like, touch it. I didn't have to go to the sign. But you can't if you wanted to. Everything's fenced off, and the LAPD is watching 24/7 at the top of this hill, like right above the Hollywood sign. Anyway, as I'm walking up, right, it took like another hour. That's how roundabout this path is to get behind the sign. I'm walking up, and it's hot. You know, it's a, like, nice day out. 30 motorcycle cops, like a huge motorcade. First of all, this helicopter lands on top of this hill. It's a LAPD helicopter. And I'm thinking, oh my God, like, are they trying to arrest me? Are they going to arrest these hikers? Like, how serious was this, you know? So the LAPD helicopter arrives. I see it at the top of this hill. I'm walking and I'm thinking, okay, I had a pink t-shirt on. Let me put on my blue jacket and baseball cap. You know, maybe they won't arrest me since I'm not wearing my pink, right? Because there's cameras. So I'm on that camera, right? So maybe they're looking for these hikers. I don't know how serious they are, right? So I'm just trying to get to the sign. So as I'm walking up, 30 motorcycle cops drive by me. And there's a black Escalade, LAPD. Some political person or some higher up person, right? But do you need 30 motorcycles? You know? Why? Who's in there? Anyway, they're driving down this dirt road. They don't care about me. I'm like, okay, thank God. I'm good. Everything's fine. Like, I'm just a silly hiker, right? So I get to the top. I finally make it to the top of the hill. And this whole hill is fenced off. It's all watched and guarded by the LAPD. I think because at the top, there's these towers, right? And the towers are all like satellites and, you know, anyway, you can't get there. It's all blocked off. And at the top of this hill, there's just a fence. It's just a wire fence. And you can't even see the Hollywood sign. Like, you can see it through the fence, but the pictures I took, it's hard to not get the fence in there. I have to hold up my phone above the fence to take pictures of the Hollywood sign. I'm like, can they not just have a tourist spot? You know, I'm not saying you have to touch the sign, but just have some sort of a platform. You're still on a hill. The platform will be higher than the sign, and you can't jump off the platform, right? Because it's pretty high. It's just to take pictures of the Hollywood sign from above. That's all I wanted. So that's the point. Like, when I got to the top, it was very uneventful, and I wanted more. I wanted a reward. I wanted a reward view, okay? And you can't get that. And I guess it's because everything's, like, guarded and watched. They don't want all these tourists up there, right? But when you get to the top, there's these other trails, and you can walk along the mountain range, which is pretty nice. But anyway, that was my Hollywood sign walk. I go back down. You know, I walk along the hill back down and I get back to the path where I started on, right? But then as I'm walking back, I hear these other sirens and it's other hikers that try to go up behind this hill, you know, the private property hill. So this happens all day, right? Like there's someone there, police, 24/7, just watching for hikers to go up this hill. Like this happens all day. And I started early, so that was like the first one of the day. But then later on, as I'm walking back, because it took another hour to walk back to my car, it happened three more times with other hikers. So I'm like, oh, like this happens all day. Like, anyway, and that sucks, right? Like that sucks, especially for those houses that are right there. Like they're just hearing sirens all day of hikers trying to get to the Hollywood sign. Like, I find that crazy. And the thing is, there's this one gate. It has a lock on it, but it's not locked. You can just open the gate, and this gate takes you to this dirt path. The thing is, people think it's locked, so they don't try it, and they walk up this hill in front of this gate. So it's super steep. So as I was walking back, I saw a person grab the other person's arm and kind of half lift them up this hill because they didn't know this door was unlocked, this gate was unlocked. So they're all making like these grooves in this hill to go up when they just need to open the door, the gate, and it opens. So I'm like, oh, wow, they think it's locked, you know? So because they're just going up this hill for the Hollywood view, but you don't have to struggle up this hill. You can just open the gate. Anyway, I go back to my car. And that took like 4 hours. This whole adventure was a 4-hour adventure. But it, you know what? It was pretty cool though. Yes, the Hollywood sign is cool, but even more so, you see the whole view of LA. You can see downtown semi, because it was kind of, I couldn't tell if it was smoggy or foggy because it was a day before all the rains came in. But it was a pretty beautiful view. And it's crazy how packed LA is, but on this mountain range, it's just open. You can just hike there, you know? And I wonder if a lot of stuff happened, you know, like classic LA, like old school LA, right? Like with the mob scene, like, you know, it's like in Vegas. A lot of people are probably buried in the desert. I wonder if a lot of people are also buried in these mountains. I don't know. But I saw some random ranches with horses. Like, it's a really beautiful area. This is where I stopped recording a couple weeks ago. Because since then, Thanksgiving has happened and Hell Week at work because of Thanksgiving. And I wasn't sure if I should save this for the next episode because I'm already behind on this one. I think I will go into detail on the next one because I'm sure you really want to hear about my Hell Week. But even more importantly, I have made an appointment at the court for my divorce. That was a big step for me. And yeah, I will go into that on the next episode. So thank you for listening. And if you visit LA, do visit the Hollywood sign and know that it's not tourist friendly. But it is a beautiful view. Until the next time, I'm Chef KB.